is TNT Radio, brought to you by Blogin Broadcasting Service, and I'm Denise Nelson, your net reporter. If you have any questions or something you would like to report or call us, you can call actually our toll-free number, which won't be available probably. I have a guest coming on tonight, Nancy Tate. This is a number you can call in probably after she gets off the show if she leaves before the end. That number is 1-888-268-4313. And there's an international number. It's 1-530-876-3222. No anonymous calls. If you do call in, please state your first and last name and the state you live in. Don't give any specific information regarding where you might be. Like I always say, you never know who might be listening these days, right? Also, if you want any airtime to present your own personal political view, just give us a call. No attack, but do expect questions of clarification. And our new location for posting the notes and links for the news is www.tntradio.blogspot.com. Well, how are all of you tonight? It is the 13th of March, and I was just looking out my window to what appears to be an almost full moon. So it looks full to me, but I read that it's tomorrow's the full moon. So here we all are, the night of a full moon, talking about what's going on in our world. A lot of stuff going on in our world. Is that you? Did somebody just come on? Okay, no. I just wanted to read something to you a little bit about what my format is for this new show. So I'll read it to you now. This new show is a place where listeners can join together to think not only about what's happened in our current events, but also how those events are influencing and affecting our individual thinking, feeling, and creating on a daily or even minute-to-minute basis. The show will provide an opportunity to acknowledge that process on a very personal level, reminding us that our very thoughts will help create new and improved current events. Our country is great, and when we all come together, we do make a difference, whether in port deals or foundation support. Talk about being in the loop. We are in the loop. We will focus on at least one event every show that will provide a link or explore an idea of how to become involved in a positive way regarding that event. And isn't that what we all want to do? Today I was noticing as I was watching the news so I could see exactly what things I wanted to talk with you about tonight, I realized that, you know, when you sit and put your consciousness on the news for a very long period of time, it's draining. And there's so much happening right now that I had to walk away a few times today and just say to myself, woo, we're in it. And my point in saying that is that what I realized as I had those thoughts going through my mind is what I said to myself, what can I do? What's the best way to handle how much is going on in it for myself? And you know what my answer came to me, you know, embrace it, Denise. Embrace it all. It's all good. It may not appear to be good, but it's all good. And what is wonderful is that if we can even do one thing in our day or in our week that is a loving thing to send out, whether it be, going to a foundation and sending an email, sending a letter to a senator, just our voices on the port deal, just the emails that we all sent in to all of our congressmen and senators, letting them know how we felt about it. All of those things, small in comparison to what's going on, we may think, but in truth, very big, very, very large and full of light. And that's what, as a person on the BBS radio station, and if you go and see the kinds of guests they have on BBS and on TNT, and those of us that are donating our time to do this. That's why we're here. So that said, I have a guest that's going to come on tonight. Now, you never know. Things sometimes around here don't always work, but I'm hoping she'll be here in a few minutes. Her name is Nancy Tate, and I have been so impressed with her. She has a daily wake-up call, and I get it on my email every day. And every day, it inspires me for the day. And somehow, it's always what I needed to hear for that day. As a matter of fact, there are days when I don't get it. And I'll walk around going, where is it today? Is it not coming? You know, 9 o'clock will come, 10 o'clock will come. And if I still haven't seen it, I'm missing it. And that's how important it's been to me. And one of the main reasons I'm having her on the show tonight, besides her wonderful wake-up calls that she does, which she will explain more to you about, she had recently gone through something. She can tell you more about that, a personal struggle. And it by sending this out on the email to everybody and explaining what was happening with her, there was a letter in there from a GI in Iraq. And this letter was absolutely amazing as to what these boys over there are feeling, what they're thinking, and not just the GIs, all the way up, you know, to the top brass. If I was a Army person, I could tell you, you know, all the names, and I'm sure she can read it in the letter because I don't know a whole lot about that, but all of them are unhappy. I today was watching Wolf Blitzer on CNN in the Situation Room, and Republican John Murtha was on the show today, and he was saying, in part of what he was talking to Wolf about, Wolf Blitzer, 42% of our troops, 42% want to leave now. 72% don't know why we're there. They know that the, you know, weapons of mass destruction were a ploy, and they just don't know why we're there. He says that Iran and China want us there because we're draining our country financially. And isn't that the truth? And this Republican, John Murtha, said this today on TV. Also, he wants to start a timetable for a withdrawal of our troops. He said, his words, ASAP. And that was music to my ears. Also, it says, we are caught up in a civil war. And having Saddam Hussein running that country, needless to say, when you see what was lying underneath his reign, you know, so much going on that now with him gone, all this unrest really has to happen. Is that you, Nancy?
Yes.
There you are. Welcome
here
to the
I am.
Show.
I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Not very well.
Not very well. Okay, well, let's give it a go.
That's a little better.
I'll try to speak as loud as I can, and hopefully I won't make everybody's eardrums break while I'm doing it.
Uh-huh. And that is much better right now.
Is it better? Okay, good. Well, welcome to the show, Nancy.
Well, glad to be here.
I am so glad you're here. I'm going to read your bio right now, real quick.
Okay.
And then we'll go on with the show.
All right.
It says, Nancy Tate moved to the Southwest from her home state of Maine in the fall of 1995. She has two daughters and eight grandchildren. I have two, so I know how wonderful they are, all of whom live in Maine. The Menorah is her first formal publication. She began her writing career after coming to the Southwest, and she has written poetry, children's and short stories, and has started another novel. In 1997, she created and released her first CD, Dance of Remembrance, a meditative collection of some of her poetry that she reads to music. Nancy and her life partner, Bob Towers, created their spiritual website, Tree of the Golden Light, in the spring of 2002. Since then, it's reached a readership of just under 3 million people, appealing to an international audience. Nancy channels many lighted beings and posts their messages regularly on the website. Her wake-up call messages are but one feature of her site. She and Bob and their beloved dog, Toshiro, is that how you say it?
Yes.
Toshiro, make their home in their RV as their work often takes them on the road. That must be kind of fun, Nancy.
Oh, it is. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I am just pleased that you are here. I thought maybe you could start off, you could tell us a little bit about yourself, anything that you want to share, and then you can lead into what happened the other day in your email and then the letter from Iraq.
Oh, well, yes. Presently, I am, I'm writing and bringing the wake-up calls forward, and we are in southern New Mexico right now, and enjoying the weather.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Oh, yeah. And another couple of days, we're going to be moving further north in the state to do some work with some friends up there who are following and working with constitutional law.
Uh-huh.
And this is very interesting, and it's wonderful work because we are through this, and many other groups, we're bringing this, the Constitution, the law, back into being in this country. And it's a very wonderful thing. St. Germain, you might say, is the father of our country in that he helped to establish the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and all of this for us.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's really wonderful work. And between what Bob does, he does most of the technical stuff and so forth. and I back him up, and I get a little message every now and then of another direction he might go in his research, and so it works pretty well that way.
That's great. So tell us a little bit about the other day, what happened and how you ended up sending out the email, you know, a little bit of background as to how it got to me, and of course now you're on the radio because I love the letter from Iraq. So you go ahead.
Okay. Well, I had heard through the email from my daughter that my son-in-law will be deployed over in Iraq after 6 months of training here in the States, and then he'll have to spend a year in Iraq. And it really hit me hard. In fact, even though I realized there was that possibility, for they had told them that a few weeks ago. But when it actually comes down to, yes, this is final and this is what's going to happen, all I could think of was my daughter and my four beautiful grandchildren being left, you know, being left behind and having to fare for themselves, and on the Army paid that they get, it just, I don't, you know, it's like, how are they going to do it?
So all the unknown of not knowing how they get by, and you being the grandma, and then watching your son-in-law leave, so all the possibilities have now become a reality.
That's right.
Okay.
And so I just kind of acted on my emotions and my impulse, and I wrote back to her, and I said, I'm going to find a way to come home and be with you, you know, within your ordeal. And when I woke up in the morning, I just knew that if I did that, I would not be honoring what I'm to do in my life or what she is to do. And so,
what you're saying is, in a short version, basically, is that in that moment you were ready to change everything in your life and go and be with your daughter,
yeah,
and your grandchildren.
That's right.
And you've been on the spiritual path for a while.
Yes.
Quite a while. And
10 years.
7 years?
About 10.
10 years.
Yeah.
And so then when you woke up the next morning, you knew that you were putting that on the back burner and jumping into a whole different world.
Yeah, it took me a little while before I realized that. When I first woke up, and I'm wondering how many people go through this, when they hear that their loved ones are going overseas. When I first woke up, I felt numb. I felt like I had shut down. No emotion, no feeling. And I lay there for a while and wondered, what is this all about? Mm-hmm. And finally I got up and I took Toshiro out and fed him and so forth, and then sat down at the computer and started answering some emails about, you know, in response to the letter I'd sent out to a few friends and to our SSN list.
Right.
And as I was writing, I was realizing what was going on, you know, that it was like there were two parts of me at war within myself. One saying, oh, you should go and do your duty and help your children and so forth. And the other one said, but what about me? What about
two voices,
the life I'm
right.
living?
Right.
And it means something. And it means something to more than just myself and my family. It means something to my spiritual family.
Right.
And so as I got further into the day, I realized what I had done. I had once again given my life over to someone else rather than live it in the way that I came here to live it.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't help them either, because they came here for a reason and they came here to do something for themselves and for the world. And by my stepping in to that journey of theirs in that way, I would have disrupted it. I would not have honored that journey.
Exactly. Right. And that's not I can tell you from experience, that's why when I read your email, Nancy, you know, I said to myself, this is my story. I mean, this is what I've done most of my life. Those that know me, anybody who's listening tonight know that about me. And it's not an easy thing to honor ourselves and to honor what we think we are here for and what our soul is asking us to do or telling us to do, what resonates with us, you know. And obviously that's why the numbness, besides the fact that, you know, your son, his son-in-law was going to be, you know, going into the service.
Yeah.
And when you sent that email to me with the explanation of what you'd been through and then what you realized about yourself, all of a sudden as I was scrolling down, along came this letter. And do you have that letter in front of you, Nancy?
What are you referring to?
From the U.S. soldier in Iraq?
Yes.
Okay, I would really like you to read that letter so all of our listeners could hear it. Try to speak up a little bit. I know I can barely hear you. I can hear you. I think it's probably worse between you and me than it is over the radio. But anyway, go ahead and read that letter to us if you would. That would be great.
Okay. It was just a real short one, and it came up to me through the email, and it began, "The troops want out soon." And it says, "Speaking of the troops in Iraq, recent polling reveals that nearly 3 out of 4 of U.S. troops in Iraq think the U.S. should exit the country within the year, and more than 1 in 4 say the troops should leave immediately. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff admits also that the Iraqis want us to leave as soon as possible." And then here are some pertinent comments by a U.S. soldier in Iraq, writing as deep his initials, about why the desire to leave that country. He said, "We need to get out because our military cannot take much more of this. We are stretched too thin, and it's about to get worse. Soldiers are frustrated. Every soldier I have talked to says they are getting out of the military when they get home. Every one of them, regardless of rank, experience, or time in, they all want out. There has not been a single soldier I've talked to that says they want to stay in. This includes officers, NCOs, and rookies who are on their first tour of duty. We need to get out of Iraq because Iraq is the reason why the military is shrinking. We, like Cindy Sheehan, are curious as to what noble cause we are fighting for. We can't seem to find one. This is weakening America. At the rate we are going, we're going to have a military that cannot fight because it has old and broken down equipment and no troops to fight a war with." And that was it.
It just touches my soul and my heart. And it is what, you know, when you think about that and you think that it could possibly be their feeling now, but you know, we never hear this on our news. We don't see anybody being interviewed. I don't see any soldiers coming home from Iraq being interviewed. Have you?
Nope.
I never see a soldier that's come home from Iraq or his family being interviewed. I may be wrong about that, but I watch the news quite often. I never see it. And for obvious reasons, right?
Obviously.
And I saw something on the internet today where it looked like it said that Cindy Sheehan was arrested again. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was on one of the blogs. Something about on March 6th that she was arrested again. I know it. I saw it. I didn't read through it. And, you know, there may be people out there that know more about that. But God bless her for what she's trying to do. Well, that is just, I so appreciate you sending out that letter, Nancy. And this, I'd like everyone to know, as part of what she had gone through and her decision is to not leave the state and go live with her daughter, you know, she'd gone back to this letter and this had come to her and it was in her email. And then she wrote back a letter to her daughter. Isn't that how it worked? And you explained some wonderful things. And I won't read it over the radio tonight, but it's on your website, I think, isn't it? Is it on your website?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And you wanted to give out your website one time real quick?
Sure. It's www.treeofthegoldenlight.com.
That's right.
All one word.
www.treeofthegoldenlight.com. We're going to talk a little bit more here in a minute about her channeling and her messages. But that is the website where you go to. And I think you can sign up for the daily wake-up call, right, Nancy?
Yes.
Okay. Now, there was another letter. I'm going to see, Nancy, if you have this one in front of you. The one by Sean Raymond, defense correspondent. The SAS soldier that refused to fight in Iraq?
Yes, I have that.
Do you have that one?
Yep.
Okay, let's go ahead and read that one, too. This is a letter SAS soldier. Nancy, what SAS stands for? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
Okay, but he's maybe not a United States. He's not in the United States troops. He is, I believe, British, right?
Yeah, it's over. It's a British soldier.
He's a British soldier.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, go ahead and read that letter.
Okay.
Okay.
It's titled "Soldier Quits Army in Disgust at Illegal American Tactics in Iran." An SAS soldier has refused to fight in Iraq and has left the army over the illegal tactics of United States troops and the policies of coalition forces. After 3 months in Baghdad, Ben Griffin told his commander that he was no longer prepared to fight alongside American forces. He said he had witnessed dozens of illegal acts by U.S. troops, claiming they viewed all Iraqis as Untermenschen,
right,
the Nazi term for races regarded as subhuman, excuse me. The decision marks the first time an SAS soldier has refused to go into combat and quit the army on moral grounds. It immediately brought to an end Mr. Griffin's exemplary 8-year career, in which he also served with a parachute regiment, taking part in operations in Northern Ireland, Macedonia, and Afghanistan. But it will also embarrass the government and have a potentially profound impact on cases of other soldiers who have refused to fight. On Wednesday, the pre-trial hearing will begin into the court-martial of Flight Lieutenant Malcolm Kendall Smith, a Royal Air Force doctor, who has refused to return to Iraq for a third tour of duty on the grounds that the war is illegal. Mr. Griffin's allegations came as the Foreign Office Minister, Kim Howells, visiting Basra yesterday, admitted that Iraq was now a mess. Mr. Griffin, 28, who spent 2 years with the SAS, said the American military's gung-ho and trigger-happy mentality and tactics had completely undermined any chance of winning the hearts and minds of the Iraqi population. He added that many innocent civilians were arrested in nighttime raids and interrogated by American soldiers, imprisoned in the notorious Abu Ghraib prison, or handed over to the Iraqi authorities, and most probably tortured. Mr. Griffin eventually told SAS commanders at Hereford that he could not take part in a war which he regarded as illegal. He added that he now believed that the Prime Minister and the government had repeatedly lied over the war's conduct. "I did not join the British Army to conduct American foreign policy," he said. He expected to be labeled a coward and to face a court-martial and imprisonment after making the most difficult decision of my life last March. Instead, he was discharged with a testimonial describing him as a balanced, honest, loyal, and determined individual who possesses the strength of character to have the courage of his convictions. Last night, Patrick Mercer, the Shadow Minister for Homeland Security, said, "Trooper Griffin is a highly experienced soldier. This makes his decision particularly disturbing, and his views and opinions must be listened to by the government." The MCD, or MOD, declined to comment.
I don't know who the MOD is, but I'm sure some people
either
do. This is probably that's British intelligence, but I'm not sure. I want to tell you that if you go to www.news.telegraph, this is where I found the article. I think that's where it came from that Nancy sent to me.
Uh-huh.
And you can go to that website. There's other interesting things on there, but that's where you'll find this letter if you want to read it again to yourself. And that is www.news.telegraph. Now, also, Nancy, we want to lighten it up a little bit. We'll go into a little bit about how you're channeling and your beautiful wake-up calls.
Okay.
I want to give out a couple of email addresses. where, after hearing this story, which makes none of us feel good, you know, none of us can possibly feel good about either one of those letters. So
right.
What can we do? You know, what part do we have here? And I found a couple of places where everyone can go if you choose to. One of them is www.senate.gov. When you get on that website, once again, it's www.senate.gov. On the right-hand side of the first page, in a little box, it'll say, find your senator. And then underneath it, it says, by state. So you go in, you just click on to wherever you live. It tells you exactly, who, you know, your senator's office name, how to contact him. And then, and that one is very good. It was real easy. I did it myself, so I can tell you from experience. It was very easy. It takes 5 minutes. The other website that I found, I've listened to this woman before. I love her. Her name's Joyce Riley. I don't know if any of you know about her. She does so much work with the veterans and what's going on with the veterans in our country right now. That website is www.thepowerhour.com. And on the left-hand side, she's got it spelled out for all of us so easily. You can contact your lawmaker. She's got it by zip code, or there's a phone number here, how to reach the White House switchboard, contact President Bush, contact your senator, click here, your representative, another click, House and Senate switchboard, a phone number for that, Congress contact database, links to central government agencies, and list of all foreign embassies in the U.S. Also, she has, which I love, newspaper contact lists, audience information departments for CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox Broadcasting, FCC. Now, we all know that with our current media, not a lot happens yet. I think that's changing. I'm seeing it start to change, at least on a couple shows on CNN, and I'll mention them again. It's Lou Dobbs and the Situation Room with Will Blitzer. Lou Dobbs has really been putting himself out there on the line trying to get to the truth, and it's been great to see. So anyway, those two websites, once again, www.thepowerhour.com, or my other one here is www.senate.gov. Okay, so there's all the heavy stuff, Nancy. Let's get to the fun stuff for a minute.
Okay.
Well, I think it's fun. I love it. And tell us a little bit about how you started with your wake-up calls.
Well, our website was pretty new, and first of all, I started channeling weekly messages and putting them on the internet, to just sending them out to friends and so forth and family. And then with
for those
the
of us, not to interrupt you, I'm sorry, Nancy. For those of people that maybe listen that don't really understand channeled messages, maybe you might want to explain that real quick. You know, in a little, the shortest way you could without.
Channel messages are messages that I receive through my higher self from various different lighted beings and masters and so forth. And I have even channeled information. It's what it is, really. It's a frequency of information from trees, from the redwoods, from rocks, stones, from inanimate objects, supposedly, but they all have a life force and
absolutely
is information. And so my higher self is able to transcribe, you might say, to translate the frequency of this information into my language. And so that's what a channel message is.
Do you feel like for you it's a melding of your energies?
Yeah, I think it is in a way. It's some of it is telepathic, where you can read what they're saying and you have a conversation with them. And yeah, because we are all one, it really is a melding, as you say, and it's an understanding. It's a completeness of communication.
How did you start to realize you had the ability, Nancy?
Well, it really, when I really realized it was probably about 7 years ago, when I was in Oregon visiting my sister, and I went to a bookstore, and this book jumped out at me about channeling, and I brought it back and read it through and said, okay, I'm going to try this. And I did, and Confucius started speaking.
Yeah.
And it was quite an experience. So every day until I left there, I channeled a message from Confucius and recorded it.
Really?
And then I didn't do any more really, except for myself once in a while, for another year or two, a couple of years. And then one day I was staying at a little casita of a friend, and I started channeling Kryon, this beautiful messenger of the magnetic service.
I have been going to the Kryon seminars, Nancy, for about 10 years.
Uh-huh.
I think that's
yeah.
when the Kryon book series started. Have you read those?
Oh yes, they're beautiful books.
They're beautiful books.
It's no
accident you and I are talking, Nancy. accidents, are there?
Yeah, really.
Well, tell us now. I know. Real quick, before I go on to a couple of things, I wanted to ask you because I love. Lately, some of her wake-up calls actually are from Saint Germain.
I've been channeling Saint Germain. Well, after I channeled Kryon for a while, for maybe half a year or so, then I started receiving information from other beings like Saint Germain and Sananda, a Galactic Federation, and there was even what I call the collective. It was when I was receiving information from, like, the body of them, the collective of all that information, those energies, and so it was like a combined effort, you might say.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
So as I did that, I was doing the wake up calls. I realized, you know, these are nice, and I had gotten a friend of mine had given me a reading, and he said, you're going to start channeling a lot of information. You're going to be receiving a lot of information, and you're going to wake up in the morning, and you're going to have it right there. And so that's when the wake-up call started. I did them 5 days.
Literally a wake-up call, right? You wake up
yes,
in the morning,
right.
And you're being called. Wake up, Nancy.
It's the hard way. At first, I had a little recorder right beside my bed, so when I wake up in the morning, I would just reach over, not even open my eyes, and turn it on and start saying what came. And then I'd take it out to my computer and transcribe it from the spoken to the word, and then I'd post it. And then after a while, I realized, you know, I'm doing this the hard way.
Right.
So I would get up in the morning, and the first thing I would do after taking Toshiro out was I would sit down at the computer and just receive and channel into the keyboard. You know,
well, since you've been
typing.
Right. Since you've been so wonderful, I so appreciate you coming on the show, Nancy. I have been reading your wake-up calls for days and days and weeks and weeks and weeks, and so it's a pleasure to meet the woman behind the beautiful words, because they truly are beautiful words. Real quick here, I want to read you today's wake-up call to everybody. It's right along the what we were just talking about tonight. I'm going to read it to you real quick. It's a wake-up call, Hatun. Is that how you say him? Hatun?
Hatun,
March 13th. My dear ones, there is something I would like to address this day. It has to do with the families of the loved ones who are in Iraq and the ones who are slated to go to Iraq as this war continues. I am Hatun, and I am here to tell you that with the return of peace in Iraq and the appointment of the new regime, there will come a new mission for the soldiers all over the globe. This new mission will be to encircle the globe with their dedication to the triumph over evil and the return of peace to all hearts and souls across the land. They will indeed, as has been promised in various messages in the past, several years lay down their weapons and pick up their plowshares. They will look at the one in front of them brandishing a rifle, and they will say, no more. They will look the other soldiers square in the eyes and declare, my brother, sister, I will not harm you nor kill you. I will shake your hand and I will kiss your face, for you are one of us, and we no longer will fight these wars. Indeed, this is happening even now. That part of it, and I'm clicking on real quick. We'll see how quick my computer on the screen here, it has to go over. But that's just a portion of it. And I'd like you, Nancy, one more time, give out your website again, and also talk a couple seconds about your book and how people can get your book.
Oh, okay. Yeah, once again, my website is www.treeofthegoldenlight.com.
Okay. And then the name of your book is Menorah.
Yes.
And you might want to say a couple words about what the book is about and how people can order the book. I know it's not out yet. Is it out yet?
Not yet. It's still it's in the process. I heard from the publisher today on a couple of details, and we're taking care of that. The menorah is the story of a menorah with Mayan carvings that actually exists. I have not seen it. A friend of mine who told me about it said that his friend had it in his possession for a while. And I started writing this book about 10 years ago. And as I grew in spirit, the book grew. And it contains, I put it in story form. There's a lot of truth in it, a lot of spiritual truth, and some of it was channeled and so forth. And it's the story of the search for this menorah and the good guys and the bad guys.
Right.
And the adventures they went through on the search, and it started in a village or a town, actually, with a marina and a lake in New Mexico, and it ended up at the Sea of Campeche in the Yucatan.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask everybody who's listening tonight, if you go to her website, sign up for the emails, the daily emails, the wake-up calls. You will love them. Every day is a different flavor. It's a different energy. Somehow it always feels right for, I know for me, I'm sure for everybody else, that's how it works. If you like her wake-up calls, order her book. I'm sure it's going to be wonderful. And Nancy, I'm going to have you send me a copy of your book when it comes out. I can't
I
wait.
I will do that.
I would love it. And also, I would love to interview maybe again another time. We could talk when you start working on your new adventure that you're going on now. Because
yes.
It sounds interesting, and you can check in with me maybe in a couple of months, and we could talk about how it's going.
I would love to do that.
Okay, that would be wonderful. We were hoping to have a few call-ins, but the phone line that Nancy is on, evidently because it's the toll-free number, blocked anybody else from being able to call in. So, Nancy, I want to thank you so much for coming and being on the show, for the beautiful words that you write, for the letter that you, the letters that you read to us, and it's nothing happens by accident. Well, out of a very painful day for her came this. I said to her, if this hadn't happened, and then for her to be willing to send out an email and write, and you know, in this email what she was going through on a personal level, if she hadn't done that, she wouldn't be here tonight. So you see how it all works?
Love the way it works.
I love the way it works after I know why it happened.
Yes.
When I'm in it, I don't love it too much. But I'm learning that, you know, just wait, you'll see the gift. So anyway, thank you so much, Nancy, for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
You're
I
welcome.
Really enjoyed it.
Have a great night.
I will, and you too.
Okay.
Okay. Love
all
you
right,
all.
Everybody. So there's more to that wake-up call. If you want, I didn't read the whole thing. It was very long, but that gives you an idea, you know, what it's about. And I'm looking to see here. Okay. So it was really wonderful to have her on. And just a great, great opportunity. She's a beautiful lady. Trust me, her words are beautiful. They will make your day. Here is another link for congressional representatives. I just found it popped up. It popped up. www.senate.gov/general/contact. If you put that, then it comes up with different places where you can go for information for senators. There's a few links on there. So I've given you some opportunities. I one more time also tonight would like to give the email address again for the Christopher Reeve Foundation. The passing of the beautiful soul, Dana Reeves. Last Friday night I had a show, a radio show, the same one, and we had some equipment difficulties, so we weren't able to give the time to that topic that I had wanted to. And I'm going to tell you such an interesting story. I attempted to spend some time on the story, and I had been so thrown off by the events of everything not working that I had a very hard time, and all you guys forgive me, you were probably going crazy saying, what is she doing? Anyway, though, that night after the show was over and I was feeling kind of, you know, depressed, thinking, oh, the show didn't go good and, you know, didn't go exactly as it should have, my thinking, because everything always does go as it should. I went down to the store, and I'm standing in line to pay for my Diet Coke, and there's this guy across from me, probably in his middle 40s, out of nowhere, at that moment, starts talking to me about the passing of Dana Reed. I mean, literally out of nowhere. This is how affected he was. And my point in wanting to bring this up tonight is because I know it's been a few days now, and we get busy in our lives, and life goes on, as it should. But the passing of Dana Reeves was a loss for many of us here, a gain for spirit, and I know she'll be doing probably even more wonderful work from the other side. I'm sure she is, and she's there with Chris and combined together. What a huge light they are. I want to send out my love and light. I'd like all of you to for her son. This boy, I believe he's 13 years old. His name is Will. And he, obviously, since the day he came on the planet, had to learn to live in the now. This accident that happened to his dad, he was only 3 years old. And, you know, that was touch and go most of his life. So he has learned to live in the now, almost every day of his life. And this boy, I'm sure, is going to be a wonderful, wonderful child. I hope that maybe we get to see him as he grows up do some of the wonderful things that his parents have done. The legacy of Dana Reeves, I would like to ask you all, anybody who's interested, go to www.christopherreeves.org. There are places on there where you can actually just go on and click, and you can send already. There's email letters there in form. So all you have to do is put your email address and click the send button. This is about the fact that a month ago, all the funding Congress voted down for all of their projects, not just their projects, but other up-and-coming cancer research projects that were very, very promising. All the funding was cut. This is why I'm asking if anybody is interested to go to that website. Please do your part. Send the letters. We need something to be done about this. I heard someone talking about it today on the news, and it was a Democratic senator. I was only hearing it. I wasn't paying attention. So the thought, you know, her passing is going to bring this forward. We're going to become more aware of it, and hopefully, just like we did with the port deal, we can make a big difference. And also, just want to bring up a couple of interesting things. You know, this news day today was CNN. It was like fireworks were going off all day long. You know how they do the alert, Fox News alert. CNN has their way of doing their alerts. I mean, the stuff is shifting, you guys. The every area we look at, there is truth coming out. There are people coming out and saying what they want to do. Everybody's, you know, having their opinions, but this is good. It doesn't feel so good, but it is good. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Senator Russ Feingold today. This was today, 3/13/06. He was on Wolf Blitzer's show, and he's the senator that's trying to introduce the resolution to censor Bush. He says that's an authorized and illegal program and needs to be held accountable. Misled Congress and public about legality of wiretapping. Feingold is one of the few senators that was ever brave enough to vote against the Patriot Act. There were hardly any that did. He did. I just thought I'd also give you his website in case you'd like it. It is daily_HO. And that is his website. Now, I know there's political agendas and everything, and I was hearing that today, that he's planning on running for president. To me, it doesn't really matter what his political agenda is. It's just going to bring more truth to light. Even if the censorship can't go through, which they're all saying it sounds like it can't, believe me, something else will come of it. Maybe they will go and investigate more of this NSA tapping, and more things will come out from that. So I think that's how it works, everybody. I see that it is. And let's allow all this stuff to come up and bring it to the light so we can heal it. And let's see what else real quick here. I gave you out Christopher Reeves' website. How are you guys all doing tonight? You hanging in there with me? It's been a long day. We have about 5 minutes left. I have just a couple things that crack me up today. I'm in my bedroom thinking, something is wrong with this picture. And these are all the things that were flashing in front of me today. The Massawi trial falling apart. Maybe we're going to have a mistrial. This is the only human being that's on trial for anything to do with 9/11. And now they're thinking there's going to be a mistrial because of leaked information to the witnesses. I don't find that to be too much of a coincidence. Maybe you do. I don't. Tornadoes. Tornadoes last night. Unbelievable tornadoes in Missouri. Wildfires in Texas. Huge wildfires going on in Texas. And God bless these people in Missouri and that whole part of the country that are experiencing these devastating tornadoes. We should all, you know, say a prayer for them and send our love and light to them. And I heard a couple more things. This one just cracked me up. I have to say it cracked me up. I know other people may not find it funny, but I did because I think this is getting so out of hand. It says the president now, President Bush was on today, and he was saying now it's Iran who's responsible for the roadside bombs. And I had to laugh. You know, next week it'll be Syria who's responsible for them if that's where we're planning on going into, you know, make some war and do our deal, right? And also I heard Venezuelan President Chavez wants to sell uranium to Iran. He's mad at Bush. He changed his flag. He moved his horse. I don't know if you guys saw that on the news today. I don't really know what moving his horse meant. Something about moving his horse to the left. Some of you guys will probably know a lot more about that than I do. He says he wants to show the U.S. imperialists what his thoughts are. And then also, this came out a few days ago, and I didn't get to say it on the last show. I'm going to say it real quick before I have to leave. One night on the news, I'm sure most of you heard it. I mean, George Bush was on TV again. And he says to America, America, you're hooked on oil. And I had to say, hello. I wonder why. So anyway, all of you out there in radio land, we need to keep it light. We need to laugh. It is very serious. We need to embrace the seriousness of it. And in embracing the seriousness of it, we go out there and we do something constructive. I gave you quite a few options tonight if anybody wants to. Those are just little things. And there's so many other things you can do. Just saying a prayer. You know, just becoming aware. Those are all important things. We are a great country. We're going to get through all of this. We're going to make changes for the good so that we can create a beautiful world for our children and our grandchildren. That is my goal in life. My cutie little grandchildren, I want them to have a wonderful, wonderful life. So let's try to make it that way for them. I have a couple more minutes. I lost my phone number here. Nancy was on the show, and she had written it down. She was going to announce it. Let me look here real quick. We may have a couple minutes. Maybe somebody can call in real quick. The number here is 1. Let me see if I can find it. Bear with me, you guys. This is live radio. What can I tell you? I'll see real quick. I know it's 1-888. So it's 1. I have dial-up, you guys. I've got to get DSL. It takes a while for it to come up. Here we go. 1-888-684-313. We may have time for a couple of minutes if somebody wants to call in. We're looking pretty close, so I think I may have 1 or 2 minutes. They only give me 45 minutes because they have another show that comes on at 7. I just want to tell all of you, thank you for being here tonight. I hope that you enjoyed Nancy. I did. Those letters were full of information. They shed some light on what's going on over there, the things that we don't always hear about, and that was my reason for having to read them. Not because I want to put down our country, not because I would ever want to say anything about our boys over there, because, you know, we need to see what's really going on so we can be there for them. You know, so when they come home, maybe we will understand better what their world has been over there, because we're sure not learning about it here. And with those thoughts, I believe I am done. I have to hang up at 6:45. And new with this, you guys, I don't believe that Dawn comes on till a few minutes later. So anyway, I want to tell you all, have a wonderful night. Thank you for being here, all of you. I want you to remember one thing always. We are all sweet souls of light. Divine. Remember that every day when you wake up, because that is who you are. And have a wonderful evening. Love you all. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
I love you.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blog and service.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.